In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning for Word for Life. My name is Mark Widmer, and I'm joining two illustrious people here today, our Pastor Ken Keltner, and then someone that you'll remember from many, many years of this ministry. Pastor Greg Huffman is visiting with us for some days. And so we are looking at the book of Revelation. Pastor Ken on Monday gave us a great introduction of the chapter. And we are just starting to read through it as to its teaching here. And Pastor Ken, take it away for us.
Well, you know, guys, when we look at the mercy of God, I mean, all throughout the tribulation, God is still giving people an opportunity to turn to Christ. Mm-hmm. The two witnesses. I mean, so witnessing is going to be something that's going on through the tribulation time. Those 144,000 Jewish witnesses are going to be sharing the gospel. I remember when we were going through Revelation at Brookside, I came across a figure. It was from a survey or a report of evangelical missionaries in the heyday of Christianity here in America. There were 35,000 witnesses that came from the United States.
Wow.
That could be this group. I mean, it's kind of in the evangelical sector.
Right.
But can you imagine 144,000 Jewish witnesses?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they're going to be saved because of these two witnesses.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, wow, Jesus is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right.
So, well, I mean, it'll be an exciting time. And then there's going to be many. I mean, there's going to be Gentiles, you know, saved during the tribulation time. But if you were in Jerusalem today, as I had the privilege with Kathy to go several years ago, you won't find a temple there right now. You really won't even find a trace of the temple. All you would find is the Temple Mount, the most contested piece of real estate in the whole wide world. On that Temple Mount today is a Muslim mosque, the Mosque of Omar, or what some would call the Dome of the Rock. Historically, two temples once occupied this sacred piece of land. And yet when we come to verse 1 of chapter 11, we see God's temple is going to be rebuilt. Why don't you read verse 1 again? We left off with that.
Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there."
And so the temple was, and the tabernacle in the Old Testament, they were centerpieces for the Jewish people to come and to worship God.
Right.
You have the first that was actually built was Solomon's temple, which was destroyed by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar in 587 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
The second was Zerubbabel's temple, which was later enlarged to, I guess you could say, mammoth proportions by Herod the Great. But there's no temple there today, not a shred. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 2 concerning the temple of his day, "Not one stone will be left upon another." The only part of the temple that you could find today is not really a part, but the base that went around it, the platform on which it was built. And the western part of that platform remains known as the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. Because shortly after Jesus made that prediction, what took place in 70 AD was a Roman general named Titus who came against Jerusalem, and he laid siege against Jerusalem. Now, the Romans did not really get into destroying temples. They wanted to always preserve temples. And yet Titus gave word that Herod's temple, the temple that was there in Jerusalem, that it was to be preserved. But somehow, going back to Jesus' message, not one stone will be left upon another, but somehow the temple caught on fire. And when it caught on fire, that rich cedar and the other beams there in the temple began to burn. Well, the temple, parts of it, were overlaid with gold. And everybody had a suspicion that down in the vaults, underneath, were the great treasures of gold that had melted. And so when the temple burned, The gold melted. It ran into the crevices. And what happened then was that people took great pry bars, pried those stones apart, and left not one stone upon another. So there's no temple today. But the scripture here says that today, in verse 1, the temple's going to be rebuilt. Now, did you know the religious Jews today are making plans to rebuild the temple? I've been to Israel. I know the Jews have everything in place for the rebuilding of the temple. And the rabbinic schools are training the young priests, the descendants of Levi, to offer sacrifices once again in the temple. You can go to the Temple Institute there in Jerusalem, where they're weaving clothing, as the Bible describes, for the priests to wear. Where the artisans are making vessels of silver and gold for the carrying out of the temple worship. Where they're making musical instruments as they did according to the prescriptions that were given in the Bible. My friends, they are getting ready to build the temple. As a matter of fact, some have even tried to lay a foundation stone of the new temple. And it caused all kinds of mayhem there in Israel. I mean, Kathy and I were in the tunnel called the Rabbi Tunnel, and the foundation stones underground are just huge. They're mammoth. It's very interesting. It's an intriguing, in some places, I guess you could say it's a hairy experience to go through those narrow passageways. But you'll come to a spot where there's a sign on the wall that says this spot is the one closest to the Holy of Holies, that base foundation. And they're trying to designate, even now, where the Holy of Holies is, so that this temple, when the time comes, will be rebuilt. Now, if you'd go, you're going to find Hasidic Jews there at the Western Wall bobbing their heads. You say, what are they doing? They're praying. And I remember when I was with Bill Jones, our missionary to New York City, even there in New York City, we saw a man outside his vehicle, and he had his prayer book, and he was bobbing his head.
Right.
And he said, let's don't interrupt him right now.
Right.
He is praying. And so that's what you see going on at the Western Wall if you were to visit Jerusalem today. But what are they praying for? They're praying for the Messiah to come.
Mm-hmm.
What are you praying for? We're praying for the temple to be rebuilt. And so one day we're told right here it is going to be rebuilt. Because God says to John, measure the temple. Now the interesting thing is this, that this temple is a precursor of Antichrist and his power. Because Jesus said that the Antichrist is going to enter into that temple and he's going to bring abomination to it or to make it desolate. So John's given a mission here to measure the temple. Now we're told here in verse 1 of chapter 11 that John was given a kalamos, which that's the Greek word, is kind of like a tall, hollowed cane, something like a bamboo-like cane that served as a measuring device, like our ruler or our yardstick.
Mm-hmm.
But friends, you can't measure something that's not there. There was no temple standing in Jerusalem when John writes the book of Revelation. It had already been destroyed 25 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This temple will be rebuilt during the tribulation, and the Antichrist will oversee this temple, and then later he's going to desecrate it in a fit of jealousy and blasphemy. As more and more Jews return to Jerusalem and to the temple worship, which causes them to look for their true Messiah. In fact, the Apostle Paul clearly speaks of the Antichrist's desire to be viewed as God by seating his worship in this tribulation temple that he initiated building. I mean, that's how he's going to obviously be able to win the Jews over,
right,
as a false Messiah. Yeah. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition or destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's always wanted to be God.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's going back to Satan.
Yeah, even from before the creation of the world, he rebelled against God and carried a third of the angels with him.
You know, and the interesting, he didn't say, God, I'm going to be greater than you.
I'll be like you.
I want to be like you.
Yeah.
I want to be like you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find John being commanded to measure this tribulation temple, literally the holy place, the naos, which included the Holy of Holies. Obviously, there is no physical dimensions mentioned here, but setting an area aside to claim ownership and possession for God himself. Can you imagine Jews that were reading the book of Revelation as it was written by John? You talk about stunning. Yeah. There's going to be another temple?
No. Yeah.
God's word and his promises, my friends, will always come true. One of the greatest evidences that God's word, the Bible, is his is because of fulfilled prophecy.
Right.
He promised and it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, there is a state of Israel and a people of Israel and a literal temple for Israel that can be marked out with a literal measuring rod and a literal Jerusalem. I know there are a lot of people today who think maybe we're possibly living in the millennium. But my friends, no, it's yet to come. The tribulation is yet to come, and I'm thankful we're not going to be here.
That's right.
Believers are going to be gone. But notice John's omission in verse 2. Why don't you read verse 2 for us?
But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months.
Okay, so there's four courts in the temple, each opening into the other until the Holy of Holies was reached. Now, here what the courts were, again, with the temples that had been built there in Jerusalem. There was the courtyard of the Gentiles. It was the only place non-Jews could enter without the penalty of death for violating moving into a court that they were not supposed to be in. Now, there was a fence with posted warnings on tablets that spoke of the death penalty for any Gentiles that were crossing over into the next court by any Gentile. Then there was a courtyard of the women. This was next, and it was the extent of a woman's access to the temple in those days. The third area was the courtyard of the Israelites. This was the third courtyard. It marked the limit of where non-priestly men could enter. Then there was the courtyard of the priests. This was the final area. In this area were the laver, the brass altar, the burnt offering, and the holy place. Now, in the temple proper were the two chambers, the holy place and the holy of holies. But as we finish today, I want you to notice, though, the command of God for John was not to measure the outer court, which simply marks this area as being excluded from God's favor. In other words, it was literally abandoned to the unbeliever. And we're going to talk a little bit more in our next broadcast about this omission, because it's very interesting in light of some of the findings of archaeologists in the last 30 years. So I hope you'll join us as we, again, pick up. We're still in the chapter for the witnesses, but we're still dealing with the temple that's going to be rebuilt during the tribulation time. Thank you and have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.